This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Extra Time European Edition. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, senior handicapper Steve Wiss is alongside me, as are Daniele Fisichella and James Easton. Steve, only the one draw in the Bundesliga, two in Serie A last weekend. Are we getting to the all or nothing stage of the season?
Hello, Dan, Daniele and James. I think we are obviously at the business end of the season, like we said last week. And I think sometimes it's kind of obvious what teams need and what teams don't need. One thing I'm looking out for this weekend is, and I do wonder, if you bet it against all of the teams that are involved in the UEFA competitions, say bet against them on the Asian handicap line blind, I reckon you'd be in profit. So that is something I'm always a bit wary of. This is a really important stage of the, you know, Champions League, Europa League. So it's a difficult time for bettors, Dan, because there's a lot of things to consider.
There is indeed. James, four draws in Liga, which doesn't suit my narrative. So we'll move on. Did we miss a trick with Clermont, Paris Saint-Germain, who put out a much-changed team, an only draw? I noticed the Asian line came in over the sort of 24 hours in the build-up to the game. We sort of talked about it a little bit, but PSG were very weak. A couple of teenagers starting for the first time,
I think, weren't they? Yeah, we did mention it, Dan. PSG rotated almost their entire lineup for that league game last weekend. So with hindsight, it would have been a great opportunity to oppose them. Having said that, I do sympathise with anybody that backed PSG in the Champions League in midweek. I thought that, I think it's on Luis Enrique. I thought his team selection was terrible. I didn't understand what he was trying to do in defence at all. So he rested the players last weekend for midweek and then put together a very odd centre-back partnership. And it's obviously cost them because they've been defensively poor. So I understand what he was doing last weekend. And you're right, maybe with hindsight, we could have opposed PSG. But they've certainly given themselves a big job to do in that second leg now, haven't they, against Barcelona?
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what he does at the weekend as well. Daniele, a word on Inter. You suggested that they would keep on battling until they get that Scudetto. A late win at Udinese. They are not on the beach yet. I mean, you've called it here. You said that they were going to battle. They could have easily taken the draw. It wouldn't have really mattered. They are going to win the title. But bettors beware. Inter are still very much on the front foot.
At Udine, they finished the game with three strikers, Arnautovic, Lautaro and Sanchez, plus Fratesi, who scored the decisive goal, and they were still going in 5 minutes of the stoppage time, and they score the winner, because that's the mentality of Inter, that's what they want to do. They want to win the next two games, to win the Scudetto in the derby. That's the real target. Of course, they need to beat Cagliari first to set up the showdown. After they won the Scudetto, maybe they rotate more players, but there are a few records on the line, so don't just think yet, you know, about fading them. Inter can still establish the maximum record of points in Serie A.
More about being on the beach later. We've got one or two views that we're going to chat through. We've got plays as per usual. Usual mix. We've got two unit bets. We've got picks. We've got hot dogs. And we're going to kick off with our strongest selections first. We go to the Bundesliga. Steve, 9:30 Saturday Eastern Time. Mainz against Hoffenheim. Mainz -112. Hoffenheim +270. Draw +290 here. Mainz, where your 2U play last week with overs, and they did it nicely. And we go again to the Mainz well, it would appear here, this time against Hoffenheim.
Yes, like I said last week, it's funny how football changes throughout the season. Another two-unit play on a Mainz over. You know, I would have considered myself going insane if I'd done that a few months ago. But it's a different Mainz now under Bo Henriksen. You know, 4-0 win against Darmstadt last week, still in the world of good. They're still the most underachieving side in front of goal. So, you know, for all these sort of metrics backers who say it's going to revert to the mean eventually, well, Mainz's result last week definitely vindicated them. And maybe they'll be thinking the same will happen again. Against the Hoffenheim side, the bet, by the way, I forgot about the bet to even mention it, over three goals. Over three Asian goals at -113. You know, to keep it simple, Hoffenheim games average 3.6 goals per match this season. You know, loads of overs. I think it's 22 out of 28 over 2.5. So chances of a push at worst are very, very high. Hoffenheim is still fighting for stuff. You know, seventh place may well get into the Conference League this year. They're in a good phase. They're enjoying their football. No real pressure on them. And I think this will lead to a game where Hoffenheim rarely get beat to nil, Dan. And I think Mainz win the game. Mainz are really, really playing a lot better than they were under this current regime. So because of that, then, again, the over goal line stands out. And this time, unfortunately, we can't get over 2.5. It was a silly line last week. But over three Asian goals is a good, nice line. Chance of a push. And, you know, these goals look like they're finally coming for Mainz after a season of underachievement.
So Mainz over three goals on the Asian line, -113 against Hoffenheim. Daniele's 2U play only just missed, got a push, of course, last week with the Inter game. We go Napoli-Frosinone this time. It's an early start for stateside bettors at 6:30 on Sunday. Napoli -305. Frosinone +750, big price. The draw at +440. Big win for Napoli last time out. They needed it. Just tell me about the supporter situations, because the Napoli fans weren't particularly happy or haven't been happy with Napoli this season, Daniele.
Well, you can be after two managerial changes and a -30-points tally compared to last season. It took them 43 years to win the Scudetto, but the wheels have come off. I think it's going to be Europa League at best next season. Big overall. Another manager, probably not Franco Calzona, so a lot to think about, probably in the future without Osimhen as well.
Osimhen, though, was good last week in that goal fest against Monza. What do we think this time around against Frosinone? Another easy win, do we think?
Easy-ish. If you look at the head-to-head this time around in December, Frosinone knocked out Napoli of the Coppa Italia with a 4-0 win. But I'm going to back the host, the champions, still. Napoli, Asian handicap, -1.25, -139. If they only win by one goal difference, you lose one of the two units. We're going to bet. Look, they've been magnificent in the second half against Monza. They scored 3 goals in 6 minutes. And it's the proof, if anyone needed, that they got a lot of quality. Of course, their home form this season has been poor. They've lost 5 games at the Maradona, 7 if you include the whole competition, only 2 league clean sheets at home. But I think these last few months are going to be a little bit of a farewell tour for a couple of players, including Osimhen, and the chance to leave a good memory with the fans. Based on the expected goals at home, they should have scored at least 10 times more, which tells you they've lost a little bit of that cool head, a little bit of cutting edge, but surely they created enough chances. And what better opportunity to score a couple of goals than against the second worst defense in Serie A, Frosinone? 61 goals conceded. And you'll say, well, they managed to keep Bologna bay. Turati, the goalkeeper, was exceptional, and Doye hit the bar. I know Di Francesco's been playing more defensively recently with a back three, and more work on a 1-to-1 for the defenders in training. But, you know, it's Frosinone haven't won since the 21st of January, 3-1 against Cagliari. Worse away defense as well, beaten by 2 goals or more in 6 occasions. I think Napoli are going to win this one fairly comfortably. 2-0 will be enough for you to cash Asian handicap -125, -139.
We like Napoli to come good at the Maradona against Frosinone. Let's go to Liga and James's 2U play, Le Havre against Nantes. The host +155, Nantes +205 here. Both 2 points above the relegation zone, 5 above the bottom two. I mean, this is huge, isn't it, James, in the context of these two sides trying to maintain their top flight status?
Yeah, it's a massive game, this, Dan, near the foot of the table. We've only got 6 games to go in League One. It's obviously a shorter season than we've been used to, with the league having gone down to 18 teams this season. So we're really at the serious point now for the teams who are close to the relegation zone. And these two sides are definitely that. So my pick on the game is on Nantes here on the Asian handicap. I'm backing them at +0.25 on the Asian handicap, which is available at -143. So basically, as long as Nantes avoid defeat with this pick, you're going to make a profit. And I backed Nantes last weekend, which didn't pay off. They lost 3-1 to Lyon, but actually they were pretty good for most of that game. They lost out towards the end as Lyon piled on the firepower. They've got a lot of attacking players at Lyon who caused a threat and were dangerous last weekend. But I think generally speaking, Nantes were fairly good last weekend. They appointed a new manager recently, Antoine Comboire. His first game in charge was their last away game. When they did win, they won 2-1 at Nice. So although they lost last weekend, in terms of performance across his two games so far, I think Comboire has done pretty well. He's got Nantes set up fairly solidly. They're not going to face the sort of attacking threat this weekend that they faced when they played Lyon last weekend, because Le Havre simply don't have those type of attacking quality players to hurt you. So I think the chances here of Nantes getting something are pretty good. It was one of those games, Dan, where I see it as a completely 50-50 match. Obviously, you've got the draw to feed into that as well, but I'd really have the teams pretty close to level chance of winning it. And looking at those prices, as you said, Le Havre plus 155, Nantes plus 205. Nantes are obviously the clear underdogs. So that's why I was happy to back them here. I don't have a great amount of faith in Le Havre. They're a fairly limited side. They're obviously going to fight as hard as they possibly can to avoid relegation, but they don't have a lot of threat. They have lost three of their last four home games as well. So I just feel here the prices are slightly wrong. There's a bit too much on Nantes here in terms of the price for me to overlook it. So I was happy to back them. And of course, as I say, with this Asian handicap pick, you just need them to avoid defeat. Even if it's a draw, then you're going to make a profit.
I was about to say, Le Havre plus 400 to go down, Nantes plus 500. This is direct relegation. Could there be a small chance that they could play for a draw here, or happy with a draw if it's 1-1 with half an hour to go? Could that be a factor?
Possibly, because I think if you're both of these two clubs and you look at the two teams at the bottom at the moment, which is Metz and Clermont, they're really weak. They're going to struggle to win games. They're already not cut adrift, but there's a bit of a gap opened up, certainly between Clermont, who are bottom, and the other teams. So yeah, you might look at this and think, you know, if we get a point here rather than risking getting nothing, it's not the worst result in the world. So it's possible. And I think, you know, the longer the game goes on, Dan, if it is level, when you're on 65, 70 minutes, maybe that would come into the manager's thoughts even more. So all of that, I think, feeds into the fact that Nantes do, I feel, have a pretty good chance of getting something this weekend.
Yeah, certainly that quarter ball handicap in your favour. The draw, you win, of course. Let's get some hot dogs, shall we, Steve? You go to Ligue 1 for your Sunday 2:45 main game in France for you to look at.
Yeah, it's getting to a critical stage with the hot dogs now. We need to find some winners on it this week.
But I didn't want to mention that.
Well, I'm actually really confident we're going to have at least two winners. Hopefully, hit the full set. I really like this hot dog of mine today. Lyon on a -1 Asian handicap at plus 260 to beat Brest. Now, I've banged on all year about how I think Brest are overrated. They're overachieved. They shouldn't be where they were, etc. And I'm sticking with it. I don't think that they... I think recently they've been very lucky. They fluked to win at Lorient. They didn't deserve a draw against Lille. They lost at Lens. And last week, they conceded three goals at home against Metz. Now, okay, they dominated the game for about an hour, but I just think that's a concerning sign. Metz do struggle. And I think they're wobbling a bit. I really do. I think they're ripe for the taking here if Lyon play their A game. And I felt a bit sorry for James last week because I think he had the right call in the Nantes game. Nantes should have put them to bed for the first hour. But what Lyon have now, a lot of sides don't have in France. They've got unbelievable bench strength. The depth they've got, I mean, they had a really good January window. They're bringing on guys like Gift Orban, Fofana, a few others. You know, they can keep going right until the end. They averaged nearly 2 points per game under Pierre Sarge, won 10 of the last 14 matches. They're in a nice position in the table, 10th place. They've still got a fight for a potential European spot in 7th, depending who wins the cup. They could win the cup as well. But I don't think they're thinking about the cup final just yet. It's still far enough in the distance that they can just enjoy their football. You can tell that they're really relaxed. The pressure's not on. The manager's getting the most out of them. And I just can't believe it's going to be this simple for Brest to get in the top four, Dan. They are going to stumble at some point. They are going to feel the heat. So, at very least, I like Lyon to win this game. And a push is very possible for this bet. But minus one Asian handicap at plus 260. I mean, just say they were 1-0 ahead with a few minutes to go and pile the pressure, you know, try and put everyone forward. I could easily nick a big price winner here on the Asian line. So it really stood out to me. I like actually the direction Lyon are going. And Brest, they can't keep relying on the likes of Bizo and this squad. So Lyon minus one Asian handicap for the hot dog at plus 260.
Yeah, some big prices for the hot dog this week. Plus 260 for Steve. Plus 195 for Daniele in Italy. Lecce-Empoli is the game that we're focusing on here, Daniele. And we don't want anything to happen, basically. You've got an unders play for us.
Under 1.5 goals, plus 1905, so either 0-0 or 1-0 for each of these two sides, who have scored 10 goals all together, sorry, 5 goals all together in the 5 respective matches. So 5 goals for both in the last 10 league matches in the 5 match days. Lecce only 1 win in the last 8, only scored twice in this period. But weirdly enough, they're 5th for shots in Serie A. They average 13 shots per game. They're without their top goal scorer, Krstovic, who is suspended. Failed to score in 4 of the last 5 at the Via del Mare. Very strange numbers for Lecce, because they are underperforming in terms of expected goals. So should have scored 11 more, but they overperform in the event defensively. They should have conceded 9 more. So maybe at some point there's going to be a 3-3 games in a Lecce tie, but hopefully not this week. Empoli, on the other hand, scored 3 against Torino, expected goals only 0.49. They have become a bit better on the road since the third managerial change of the season, only lost 4 away games since mid-December. Look, I think Empoli are not going to be relegated. It's either Lecce or Frosinone that are going to go down with Sassuolo and Salernitana. You don't have to be a genius to predict Salernitana going to go down, but probably you need at least 36 points this season to be safe. So probably a point here makes everyone happy. Under 1.5 goals, plus 195.
Yeah, might be one to even stick a couple of quid on the nil-nil. James, no Ponceau this week. No. I've got to revisit it, because you were desperately unlucky last week. He didn't start the game, so you got your money back if you play James's selection, because he didn't start. But he did come on, James. What did he do?
He did come on, Dan, and then he had a shot on target, which obviously for us doesn't count, because if you don't start in the game, then it's a void bet. And then, of course, he comes on and has a shot on target. So I think the moral there with Ponceau is, you know, if you backed him every week since I started to mention him, you'd have made a huge profit. The problem was the weeks we backed him, he didn't. So it's just one of those things, really. Yeah, I'm ignoring him from now on. But I think, you know, anybody out there, listeners or viewers, who keep checking his prices, if he stays around 180, plus 180 or bigger, you know, feel free to get involved, but I will be leaving him well alone from now on. But I am sticking with that market, Dan, for my hot dog this week. It's the over 0.5 shots on target market in League One. So I'm going for a parlay rather than just going for one player with a big, big price like Ponceau has been. I'm going for a parlay here. And the two players in question are Mathys Ablin of Nantes and Arnaud Kalimuendo of Rennes. So on Ablin, a player a lot of people maybe won't know a lot about. He's on loan at Nantes from Rennes, actually, this season. Barely got a kick for most of the season. As I mentioned, we've had a change of manager recently at Nantes. Antoine Comboire has come in. He's put Ablin straight in the team. So in his 2 games in charge, he's played Ablin in both games, and Ablin has scored in both games. So here's a player who has just arrived in form, and he's looking really, really sharp. He took his goal last weekend in the 3-1 defeat against Lyon really well. Crucially, so far, he's been played centrally. He has in the past sometimes been used out wide, but he is being used centrally. So Ablin's in form. He's my first pick in the parlay. He's available at plus 102 on his own. Now, that's not big enough for a hot dog, but some people might like to think about betting that anyway, because I think he's a good price. The second part of the parlay is Arnaud Kalimuendo at Rennes. Generally the main striker at Rennes, so he's a shorter price. He's minus 124 to have a shot on target for Rennes this weekend at home to Toulouse. If you look at Kalimuendo's scoring stats, he's not been scoring a stack of goals recently, and that might put some people off. However, he has managed a shot on target in 3 of his last 4 League One games. So in that sense, he is in form. So that's my two picks on the for the hot dog this weekend, Dan. It's Abilene and Kalimuendo to have 0.5 shots on target each in a parlay. If you double those up, then it's available at +266.
Biggest price hot dog we've got of the show. Let's get some second picks. Athletic Club against VRL next for us, 12:30 Sunday Eastern, this one. Steve's got a play in it. I was slightly concerned about your pick initially because I thought, well, Athletic are just going to be in party mode. But then I thought, well, hang on, VRL could easy add to this. Talk us through the play. I mean, the scenes at San Mamés and Bilbao have been brilliant this week.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Athletic Club Bilbao. I think it's their first major trophy in 40 years, I do believe. They did win a couple of, is it the Super Cup or something? Or whatever it is in the last decade or so. But, you know, big win for them on penalty kicks. And, you know, it's actually quite a good result for some other teams in La Liga, Dan. Because now, eighth position may well be in grasp for a European spot. Because Bilbao are going to finish in the top six. Unless they have a dramatic fall. So suddenly now Villarreal, you know, it looked like they were going to be on the beach, mid-table, nothing to play for, whatever. We're going to talk about that soon, aren't we? But they've suddenly been, the carrot has maybe been dangled a bit more now for them. They could still nick a European spot if they finish well. And look, Villarreal are involved, so you know what the bet is, Dan. It's not an under, it's an over. Over three goals at +107. So as we get three goals exactly, we're going to get a push here. Villarreal are my wagon team to go for goals. It's the whole squad is designed to attack. Their strength is going forward. They've not got reliable enough defenders. The manager likes to attack. And you know, they're not just going to come to Bilbao and park the bus or anything. They're going to come here to try and win. And yeah, it takes two to tango. And I think Bilbao will happily go to the dance here. They're going to be a party mood, like you said. I think this could be a crazy game, actually. If this ended something like 4-3, I wouldn't be shocked, you know. I think Bilbao will win the game. They're the better side. And they're fighting for the Champions League spots as well. But it's just, again, based on style, Villarreal are a team I'd love to get involved with this season. And I don't think anything's going to change at all. If anything, it's, you know, Bilbao's cup win last week might make this game even more exciting. So, I mean, I debated which goal line to go with. I nearly went with a two-unit play here for this, over 2.5. But instead, I thought, we'll get a bit more value on the over three goal line at plus money. And, you know, a push isn't going to do us any harm, is it, Dan? So, loving the idea of goals here in the Basque Country.
Turin Derby next. Torino-Juventus. Juve are the favourites. +118. Torino +260. Is it lazy to say that the Derby means more to Torino fans than Juventus fans? Is that right? Have I got that wrong? I mean, Torino, I don't think got too much to play for. Juve probably going to get top four. I mean, is there more on it, less on it? Is it just a local dust-up, Daniele?
Well, I think a win for Torino will turn an average season into a decent one. A defeat for Juventus will turn a turbulent season into a potentially a disastrous one. In terms of pedigree, look, this is the most one-sided derby in Italy. There is no other team in Serie A that Torino has lost more games than Juventus, 77. Torino hasn't won the game since 2015. In the last 17 games, Juventus had never lost. But given their poor performances and the poor form, although they come on the back of two wins, maybe Torino have a chance.
Maybe. Be interesting to see. They're +260. We're swerving the money line and the overs market when it comes to goal. We're going to go for a prop bet here. Daniele, what you got for us?
The corners, over 9.5 corners, -117. I think this is going to be a cagey game, which is not a surprise in Italy when it comes to the derbies. And both teams are going to defend very, very narrowly with similar system, with the 3-5-2 system. Look, Torino have kept 10 home clean sheets, and this is a home fixture. So for them, 15 in total in Serie A. They've been very hard to break down, only lost two home games to Inter and Lazio, but equally have always struggled to score even when they were on top. When it comes to Juventus, last weekend against Fiorentina, they started well, scored one goal, got three goals disallowed. Then in the second half, defended with nine men behind the ball, which left you scratching your heads. Why didn't they always play on the attack? I think for Juve, with the third place pretty much locked in, from now on is really try to avoid embarrassing defeats. Torino got more at stake, I agree with you. But this is going to be a cagey game. It's going to be a game where there are going to be a lot of crosses because probably these are very dangerous teams crossing the ball. Kostic, 11 assists last season. Bellanova for Torino, 6 assists this season and 2 target men in the middle of the box. Vlahovic and Zapata. Torino, by the way, 3rd for crosses in Serie A. Not all successful. Juventus, 8th for crosses in Serie A. When you cross, often it results in a corner. Over 9.5 corners, minus 117.
Good analysis for that. Overs, corners, 9.5 is the line for the Turin Derby. One more to come from James. Well, we've got a couple more from James. But the second pick is Rennes against Toulouse. This is 3 p.m. on Saturday Eastern. Rennes are the minus money favourites just about. It's 9th versus 11. We're going to talk beach team shortly. Is there enough on this game for both teams? James, talk us through it.
The short answer to that, Dan, is no, not for both teams, but I think there is for Rennes. So the key to this game really is to not worry too much about the league table and instead look at the points totals. Because you're right, as you've said, it's 9th versus 11th. There's not a great deal between them in terms of the league standings. But actually the points totals of the two sides give a completely different story because Rennes in 9th are only 1 point behind 7th place. And in France this season, 7th might be good enough for a place in Europe. Rennes are absolutely desperate to get in Europe. It's important for a club of their size to do that every year. So they've still got everything to play for. Toulouse in 11th look almost already as though they're guaranteed to finish in mid-table. They're 6 points behind Rennes, so there's a big gap, even though it's only 2 places. They probably can't qualify for Europe. And at the same time, they're already 7 points clear of relegation with only 6 games to go. So I think Toulouse will start to feel from this weekend as though there's very little to play for. I'm not saying they'll write off their games yet, but of the two sides this weekend, I definitely think there's more riding on this for Rennes than there is for Toulouse. So this could be one of the first games in League One this season where we do see a clear differential in motivation. I certainly think Rennes will be more up for it. By how much? Well, we'll find out, but there's certainly more at stake for them. And they are generally a great side at home. Steve will remember the last couple of seasons, they've been absolutely brilliant at home. They've not been quite as good at home this season generally, although they have won 4 of their last 5 at home. So they've got everything to play for. It's also an interesting weekend for Rennes because we have a couple of games postponed in League One this weekend to give the sides playing in Europe a bit more time to rest and recuperate. It just means psychologically it's a great chance for Rennes to gain some points and maybe move up the table a bit because some of their rivals near the top of the table won't be playing. So it's a really big game for Rennes. They haven't been great recently, but they've got huge potential. They're definitely a stronger side than Toulouse. And I was a little bit surprised at the price, Dan. I think minus 118 on Rennes. Yeah, it's an odds-on price, but I wouldn't have been surprised to see something like minus 140 here, 135, 140. So I'm happy to back them here. As I said, I think they've got more to play for. They're the better side. And yeah, big chance for them to gain some points. So they were my pick. It's a straight pick on Rennes to win the game at minus 118.
Just want to add a couple of things about that game. There's a really interesting stat. Both teams have obtained the joint most number of penalties in Ligue 1 this season. So my man, Benjamin Bourigaud, could be value at plus 320 to score any time. Toulouse's regular penalty taker, Vincent Sierra, is suspended. So that is another reason perhaps to get with Rennes. I'd imagine De Linga might wrestle penalty-taking duties for them, but he has missed a few. So it's an interesting game. And Toulouse, like James said, might well be that the first team on the Ligue 1 beach.
We're going to talk about that in just a sec. Just want to briefly mention Bayer Leverkusen, who faced Werder Bremen on Sunday, 11:30 Eastern. They are hugely short price favourites at minus 590 to win this one with Werder plus 1,300. They are set to win the title this weekend for the first time in a long time. I can't remember the last time that they won it. They were 50-1, Steve, at the start of the season. I mean, they've had a phenomenal campaign. Moneyline, P&L, if you backed them in every single game, that's 24 wins from 28 games. You're plus 839 to level stakes, 30% ROI. I mean, I didn't see it coming. You tipped Leverkusen to finish in the top 4. They've had a remarkable season, haven't they?
It's mad to think that there were even money to finish in the top four. And thankfully, I managed to tip that in the outright show, didn't I? Right at the start of the season. But I wish I'd gone for them to win the title. We'd be cruising, wouldn't we? Yeah, I mean, this weekend against Bremen, I really quite like the minus two Asian line, to be honest. It's not an official tip, but I mean, I think Werder Bremen have got more suspensions than my local car garage. They've had red cards everywhere recently. But, I think they've been awful of late, Werder Bremen. This could be, you know, one of Simon Holden's Sergeant Slaughters if Leverkusen wants it. But they're in the middle of a European tie, and we don't know what the lineup's going to be. And all the things like that, they just need to win the match. And that's why I'm always a bit dubious of backing sides on handicaps. But they've been brilliant this season. And, you know, Xabi Alonso staying for another campaign. Can he go back-to-back? Maybe. I mean, the style of football that they're playing has been excellent. And, you know, they've found different ways to win games. They can win games ugly if they're not at their best as well, Dan. So, well done to them. And I think they'll put on a big show. I think this could be a decent win for them, like 3-0 or something.
Yeah, 50-1 to win the title at the start of the season. They're going to get over the line this weekend. I was just looking at Daniele at some of the surprise Serie A champions recently. And I guess the last two. I mean, Napoli were 14s, Milan were 12s. I don't know if you're across Leverkusen. I mean, do you think it's more open these days in continental European leagues? What's your thoughts on Leverkusen and what they've done this season?
I think it's remarkable the fact that they won it in style. They didn't just won it at the last. I mean, Borussia Dortmund could have won it last season, and we would have said it was a surprise win, but they arrived at the very last match and didn't. And this is the difference between Bayer Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund. They've done it regularly. I mean, they're still unbeaten in the top five leagues. Is their only unbeaten teams. But, you know, coming back to Italy, I think it is surprising. Yes, the last couple of winners have been surprising. Probably has something to do with the fact that last season, the season was interrupted by the World Cup. And look at where Napoli and Lazio are at the moment in the league. But interestingly enough, in the last three seasons, three different managers who never won Serie A before have won the title. So yeah, definitely much more open now than when it was basically a sort of Scottish league with Juventus winning nine times in a row. At least it's more entertaining.
Yeah, speaking of that type of league, James, Liga, Paris Saint-Germain are going to win it obviously this year, but Lille we've seen win it at a massive price, and Monaco were nearly 20-1 a few years ago. Don't know if you're across Leverkusen at all. How does it compare with sort of Lille's title win not so long ago? I mean, Xabi Alonso staying would suggest that he believes there's more to come maybe from the squad. I don't know.
Yeah, and I can understand why he would feel that, actually, given, as Daniele said, the style in which they've won it. I think for a manager like Xabi Alonso, that will make him feel there's more to work with there. I think the problem we've had in France with the teams who've been surprise title winners is that historically, they often then lose a lot of their star players. We obviously saw that with Monaco in 2017 when they won the title with an absolutely brilliant side. But for a lot of the players, they felt, well, this is as far as we can go. And Mbappe obviously was one of the men that left, but so did so many others as well. Benjamin Mendy and Bakayoko in midfield and so on. So, yeah, it's a slightly different scenario, I think, for Leverkusen. One thing I would say generally, Dan, about these leagues, it's always annoyed me a little bit that the German league and the French league get compared in terms of the dominance of one side. Because I mean, I know what people mean by that, Bayern Munich and PSG, but actually, in the Qatar-owned era for PSG, they probably not won it as many times as they would like. I mean, they've won 10 out of 13, if you include this season as a win, which is obviously a huge number. But every three or four titles, they tend to lose one. So we haven't had with PSG one of these long runs of 7, 8, and 9 titles. They've won four, then they've dropped one. They've won three, then they've dropped one. And actually, in League One, we did have a side in the 2000s in Lyon who did manage a longer run. So we're kind of already used to it in France. Obviously, PSG are much stronger than everybody else. But it'll be interesting now to see how this plays out, I think, personally, for Bayern as much as for Leverkusen. What do you do now if you're Bayern Munich and you've lost the title? How do you regroup and how do you go about trying to regain that dominance? So in its own way, I do think it is fascinating what will happen in Germany this summer.
What price would Montpellier have been in 2011, James? They were the biggest shock that I can remember. 150-1, maybe?
There'll have been 152, something like that. I remember at the time in spring 2012, they were still a huge price when they were leading the title race, because everybody thought they're bound to fall away, which of course they didn't with that team with Olivier Giroud in. So yeah, they were a huge price. It can happen, but obviously not very often.
Yeah. Who was the Brazilian centre half they had, and is he still playing? He's about 43.
Hilton.
I remember. That's him.
Hilton.
Is he still playing?
No, he's not.
He probably retired last summer or something like that. we better move on. Look, just very quickly, about teams on the beach. You talked about Toulouse. We get a little bit of stick about saying it. Steve, what's your takeaway? Is it motivation? Is it fatigue? Just give us a line on your standpoint and what bettors should look out for, should avoid between now and the end of the season.
Listen, we've had a few comments across the whole season, actually, but especially in the last sort of few months about, you know, we often use the terminology teams on the beach, nothing to play for, might be focused on this and that and the other. When I used to work at Football Radar, and I can remember one of my bosses actually, they own Notts County Football Club, the Reitzes now. And one of the big factors when you were analysing games beforehand was the motivation. You had a section you could put in very high motivation, high, normal or low. And towards the end of the season, it's one of the biggest changes in terms of compiling odds. Like, it's a massive factor. It really is. And of course, it's very hard to predict which teams might be motivated and might not be. But there's no doubt about it, the odds compilers do look at it. And, you know, you sent me some interesting articles last night, Dan, about this. And statistically, I think teams sort of in that mid-table vicinity towards the end of the season, they have maybe not picked up as many points as they would like. But a lot of it's theoretical. And, you know, there's a particular individual I do often have a debate with on Twitter about this. Shout out to Tony. And I don't think we're ever really going to fully agree on this matter. But there's got to be something. There's the situations where teams will be focusing on another game. There will be times where, I don't know, the last couple of matches away from home, are they really, honestly, truly going to fight as hard as the team that needs to survive or something? Just naturally, it's just human nature, Dan. And sometimes we're wrong when we think about this and predicting how. And we looked last night in the Championship, for example, there was some weird stuff. And it is hard to get into the minds of players and hard to get into the mindset of clubs. But I just do my best to logically work it out to the best of my ability, which teams are more likely to have an edge and which teams might not. And then there's also the debate on the physical side, you know, resting and rotating players. That's more facts when you've got big players actually not in the lineup. So, but there's loads of different ways. I think there'll be some different opinions even amongst the crew here about this. But for me, motivation in the last sort of 10 games of a season, you've got to consider it. That I will always work that way. I cannot have it that every team is going to try hard for every single game to the same level. It just isn't. We're human beings. It's not going to happen.
Daniele, your take.
I'm not a fan of this expression on the beach, because I think these days, first of all, we're talking about professional athletes, and we're talking about professional clubs that probably most of them have set up bonuses, thresholds for goal, for assist, for appearances. Managers have got as well bonuses, obviously, to win games and to achieve that. So I think, yeah, professional motivation, personal motivation prevails. Yes, of course, the idea of a team wanting it more than another, yes, sometimes it applies, but all depends how the game starts and how it evolves. Sometimes teams might rest players, and probably that would be the case of Inter after they win the league, or Salernitana after they get relegated. But I don't think anybody at any level in professional sport is deliberately throwing the towel. And I think I would never make a bet based on that team is on the beach. Sometimes the teams play with less pressure are even the most dangerous, of course, because they've got nothing to play for, and they can play a little bit more freely.
James?
Yeah, I think motivation's a huge factor. Steve's obviously mentioned the on the beach mid-table. Something I wanted to flag up was teams near the bottom of the table. There's a motivation to just survive, survival instinct, if you like, that you simply cannot manufacture when it's not do or die. And some of the performances you see from teams threatened with relegation in the final 6 weeks of the season are unlike anything that they've produced up until that point, because they simply don't have any more time left to survive and save themselves in whatever division they're in. So that's something I would definitely look out for. We saw it a little bit with Mets last weekend at Brest. They lost 4-3, but they were 4-1 down, and they came back to 4-3. There's a level of fight from Mets, who are down near the bottom, battling relegation, that we wouldn't have seen, I don't think, 3 or 4 months ago if they'd gone 4-1 down. That's what I'm talking about. So look out for that. Look out for teams who are genuinely in danger of relegation, running out of time, absolutely surpassing themselves and producing something we didn't know they had in them. And that can be, I think, in the final few weeks of the season, a profitable way to bet.
Yeah, speaking of running out of time, we nearly are as well. I think there's so many good opinions about this. We could have a whole show on it. There are some really good papers. There's a nice betting blog about it. If you Google on the beach teams and motivation, you'll get them. There's one by Harvard as well, the American university, that's done a really good assessment of teams and what to play for. There's one by a football magazine as well. If you Google it, you will find out.
I'll see if I can edit it in the link. See if I can put it in the link below on the comments.
There's some interesting ones. We've got three more picks. I know few of you might have zoned out, you just want the play, so let's get them quickly, shall we? We've got three to come. Steve, you're first up in Germany, 9:30 Saturday, Leipzig, Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I'm quite strong on this one, actually. Leipzig minus 1.25 Asian handicap against Wolfsburg. I just think they're by far the better team. They're in decent form. They're really fighting hard to get into the Champions League spots. Had a good win last week, 4-1 away against Freiburg. And, when Leipzig click, we know they're capable of racking up a decent score. Tend to win games. When they have a good game, they win it by at least a 2-goal margin or more. So I do like this handicap. Wolfsburg, it's gone a bit under the radar. They've had one win since the start of December, which is very worrying. And that was actually against a Bremen side who were against 10 men for like 60 minutes. So they can stay in games, and they've had a few draws, but they lack a goal-scoring threat. Jonas Wind had a really good start to the season, but he's dried up. It wouldn't surprise me, actually, if Leipzig won 2-0. Minus 1.25 Asian handicap at minus 122 odds. Very worst, I think they win by one goal. So I think this handicap should be minus 1.5 or even more.
That's Saturday 9:30. Sunday 2:45, main game in Italy is Inter against Cagliari. Daniele, what you got for us?
Inter win, as they normally do, and under 3.5 goals. That's a plus play, plus 116. And let's focus a little bit more on Cagliari. We talk a lot about Inter. First of all, great home form, 16 points rescued this season, more than anybody, mostly of them at home. So if they're going to stay up, is about really the home form, only 7 points on the road. But they never been trashed apart, they conceded more than 2 goals in 3 occasions. Roma, Frosinone and Fiorentina. Weirdly enough, the Cagliari goalkeeper are only 4th from bottom for saves made, which means they're either extremely unlucky, every shot goes in, or the opposition hit the post a lot. I think it's none of the two, it's a little bit of both. They are very able to keep some oppositions at bay. They defend with a low block. They're very sturdy, experienced. Inter, by the way, of course, need a win if they want to set up the Scudetto winner against Milan without Lautaro Martinez, who is suspended. Score more than twice at home. Inter only in 2 of the last 8 games. And the Asian handicap minus 2 for Cagliari would have been a losing bet only in 2 away games. So perhaps is an Inter win with a low score game. Under 3.5 goals, home win, plus 116.
And James, finally, to wrap things up.
Yes, my final pick is in France. Dan, it's Clermont versus Montpellier. It's over 2.5 goals at minus 129. We've just been talking about motivation. Clermont will have plenty of that this weekend. They're bottom of the table. They're 5 points from safety with 6 games to go. So Clermont have to go for this. They need wins. Draws are no good for them anymore. And I think that approach from Clermont will lead to an open game here. Montpellier are a side who don't need much invitation to attack anyway. I think they're going to get chances on the break this weekend. They're a very quick and effective side on the break. So I see this being an open game, Dan. We didn't have a huge number of over 2.5 goal games in France last weekend, but I still maintain what we said in the show a couple of weeks ago. I think generally at this time of the season, games tend to go that way. They tend to be more overs than unders. And this is one of the games this weekend I think will be over. So that's over 2.5 goals, and it's minus 129.
Brilliant stuff, Steve, Daniele, James. Thanks for your company. Good luck to all. We keep everyone up to date via our Twitter feeds. That is a wrap for Betting Weekly Extra Time European Show. We're going to be back next week for Picks Place, Hot Dogs the Lot. Follow us at Because We Win. And, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.